decades. Though Brampton had a flowing river, it was still closed in by the mangrove swamps and bayous, with their oppressive warmth and insidious damp. Ryan rubbed his eye, taking care not to press too hard, as it was still tender and painful. He shook his head, trying to clear the slight feeling of sickness, and closed his once good eye tight, then opened it to the momentary illusion that he could make out patches of light and dark. He held his breath and repeated the experiment, but there was nothing. Nobody spoke to him at that moment, so he guessed he hadn't been observed.
How long before we need to make our move toward the house of the family?
About 3 hours by micron.
Want to take a walk, Lover?
Why not? Better than sitting around here getting sweaty for no reason.
Christy took Ryan's arm and led him away from the others, along the main street for about 50 yards, then turned to the left toward the bank of the river.
Watch it here. It's steep down and the mud slippery. Overhanging branch on your right. That's it.
Within 6 or 7 minutes, Ryan found himself becoming irritated by the slow pace caused by his own clumsiness.
Maybe you should leave me here to sit a spell, and you go on ahead for a walk, Christy.
Is that what you want?
I fucking said so, didn't I?
What you say and what you mean aren't always the same, Lover, are they?
I just... Ah, fire blast.
He put his head in his hands and stood still.
Listen, Ryan, and listen good. I probably sound like a preacher at a river crossing meeting, but it has to be said. If I put my arms around you now and give you a hug and tell you how I love you and it'll be all right, then I'll certainly start weeping right off.
Guess I might too.
Sure thing. Anyhow, you know all that. It's bad enough when you start feeling sorry for yourself. Worse all around if others start pitying you. Is that what you want? Pity?
No, it's not.
Good. What's happened is rough. If it stays that way, it'll be bad, but we can pull through it together and make the best we can.
I guess so. Yeah, sure. That's right.
And you know what Mildred said?
Yeah.
So let's get on with this walk.
Christy kept up a running commentary as they walked side by side along the narrow winding path, going deeper into the heart of the bayou.
A few houses around, all rotted down. Spanish moss thick on the tumbled roofs and vines twining in through where the windows used to be.
No people?
Nobody. Looks like they might have been holiday homes. There's the remnants of a blacktop tilted sideways into the swamp on our left. An old church. Steeple collapsed into itself so it stands there among the angled white walls, like the mast of a weird, ruined schooner.
Wildlife?
Plenty of tracks. Big birds all around here. And those long slither marks you get from alligators. Deer. Could be wild pigs as well.
The air smells wet and dark. Brackish water overlaying everything. Overcast?
Patches of sun, but we're mostly in shade here. So you were right.
They stopped for a few minutes, recovering their breath in the warm, soupy air. They had come to what looked like an old tourist motel on the edge of a long-abandoned marina. 3 or 4 small fiberglass-hulled boats were visible, sunk in the shallow water.
I can smell rotting meat.
Can't catch that. Time was I could pick up a scent far better than you, Ryan. Clean living and never smoking helps. Now your sense of smell is sharper than mine.
They walked across a narrow causeway that almost vanished into the murky waters. At one point, they were only a few inches clear of the scummy surface of the swamp.
I'm going to explore for a few minutes. Are you all right here?
Sure. Just point me to a spot to sit.
Christy guided Ryan to a fallen mangrove. He sat. After 3 minutes, or 8 minutes, Ryan had lost the ability to judge the passing of time. He decided to try a little cautious exploration of his own. He had left the Steyr back with the others, but he still wore the Sig Sauer on his hip, the Longpanga sheathed on the opposite side. Christy had picked a 6-foot broken branch off a willow and trimmed the side shoots off with a panga, fashioning it into a serviceable staff for Ryan to use. Now he began to feel his way along the path, aware of tall weeds brushing against the sides of his combat boots. Christy had told him that among the lush, rank plants there was a smattering of the ubiquitous Deathlands daisy, its gold and white making a brave show among the leprous green and gray. Ryan could imagine it. He knew that the motel was about 30 yards ahead of him, slightly to his left, standing at the end of a ruined jetty that had fallen into the lagoon like a jumble of old bones, nearly a century past. Ryan stepped with an assumed confidence, but in a half dozen paces, he'd lost it. The stick probed at the air in front of him, tapping on the ground to protect him from tumbling straight into the water. He stopped and listened for any sound of Christy, but could hear nothing.
Wood. Must be the motel.
Ryan considered whether it was a good idea to go a little farther. He hesitated, wondering if he might go clean through the rotten, waterlogged boards and plummet into the swamp below.
Christy? Christy! Are you there, lover?
Ryan had only the vaguest idea of what the building was like. Two-storied, Christy had said, but looking decayed and totally uninhabitable. He fumbled forward with his staff, feeling the sponginess of the floor, trying a couple of steps, but there was something lying in front of him that he didn't pick up on.
Ah, shit!
Ryan tripped and fell clumsily, banging his elbow and losing hold of the long staff. Panic flooded his mind, overwhelming the honed combat reflexes that had kept him alive. Fighting for control of his own blind terror, he scrambled for the branch, finally finding it with his right hand. He sat there for a moment, hanging onto the stick like a drowning man to a lifeline.
Okay. I am strong, and I have no fear. I am strong, and I have no fear. I am strong, and I have no fear.
This was one of the mantras that Christy had taught him many months ago as a way of reducing stress and bringing back calmness and peace to the core of his being.
What the hell was that? I am strong, and I have no fucking fear.
Something brushed against his ankle, and he jumped, spooked by the almost silent approach of whatever it was.
Christy?
There was another touch on the back of his right thigh. He had the feeling that something was scenting him. Ryan gripped his stick more calmly, trying to judge what the creature was, or if there was more than one. Something jumped into his lap and bit him on the inside of his left wrist. It felt about the size and weight of a small mongrel dog, and Ryan snatched desperately at it with his right hand. Blindness hadn't slowed that part of his reflexes, and he caught the thing. Scrawny and hairy, struggling like crazy, its long tail lashed against his body. Long tail?
Fire blast! Christy! Help me! I'm being attacked by...
Rats! Stand up and swing the branch, Ryan! For your life! Now! There's dozens of the muty bastards!
He was up in a nanosecond, throwing the rat from him. He flailed around with the long stick as the pack of vermin surged at him. He was bitten a half dozen times. Two of the rats were climbing up his body with a sickening nimbleness, light-footed as demons as they scampered toward his face and throat. Ryan used the stick like a medieval quarterstaff, two-handed, swinging it in a tight, whirring circle, catching several of his attackers. The animals pressed around his legs, trying to bring him to the floor by weight of numbers. One tried to fasten its grip on his hand, and he shook it off, shuddering at the realization that the thing had a double row of murderous teeth. Ryan felt the rats hesitate in response to Christie's gunfire. The rodents retreated, leaving Ryan a clear space for a few moments. One of the muty animals clung to the end of the staff, and Ryan swung it to the floor with all his strength.
Let's go, lover!
For a moment, he was totally disoriented. Had it not been for Christy seizing his arm, he could easily have blundered deeper into the rat's haunt, or run out into the sluggish deeps of the swamp.
This way!
They ran about 40 yards from the building, out onto the almost submerged causeway that led eventually back to the Ville of Brampton. Ryan's hand still held tight to the whittled stick, feeling on the one end the broken slivers where the rats had gnawed at the hard wood.
That was a close call. They still after us?
Nothing. The shots from the blaster did the trick, though you were more than holding your own with that chewed up bit of stick you got there.
It's a real pisser having to depend on someone else like that.
If I hadn't been there, you'd probably have made it clear yourself. You were holding them off all right, weren't you?
I guess so, but...
Ryan knew without a shred of doubt that another minute or so among the muty rats would have seen him down and done for.
Anyway, we have to get back to the Ville. Ready to go and meet the family.
Sure.
Suddenly, something vast rushed up the shallow bank and snatched Christy away with awesome force. Christy was gone, torn away from him by what he knew instinctively had to be a monstrous alligator. She was gone, and he stood there blind. Ryan automatically dropped the staff and drew the powerful six-hour, holding it cocked and ready in his right hand.
Christy!
Christy was fighting for her life against the saurian that had taken her. The fight would only have one ending, as the great reptile rolled her under the frothing mud and rolled again and again, possibly tearing off an arm at the shoulder or severing her trunk at the waist. Ryan stood there in total darkness, his knuckles white on the butt of the useless hand.